I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission Monday, January 6, 2013, to order. And I will offer an opening prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the safety that you provided for us in a time of bad weather. We ask, Lord, that you be with those that have to travel to and from. We thank you again, Lord, for protecting us. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you be with us this day as elected officials as we make decisions, and that you would give us wisdom, Lord, to make decisions that are in the best interest of the people. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Commissioner Strahan, if you'd lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty
and justice for all. Are there any commission remarks this morning? Be noted that there was no public comment. We did have a preliminary study meeting just prior to the meeting to talk about business that we have on the agenda. Our first item on the formal agenda are road vacations. Good morning, Mr. Hayes.
Morning.
I am going to ask you, Randy, if you will work us through this. Frank, would you like to join Randy? Or? Thank you.
There has been a list of roads petitioned to vacate. And I've sent you a letter with my recommendation on these roads. We also, by the description presented in the petition, we also mapped these out to give you a better idea if you gentlemen would like to look at this.
Don't you, this is the map you met with me earlier last week.
We went through.
If you guys would like to take a look at this.
I asked Tim Hutchins to say, and we went through the descriptions of a lot of them's petition by lot and block number and different things, so we highlighted the sections of roadway that they petitioned to vacate. Some of these are just portions of road, some of them's the entire length of road that they're requesting to vacate. So that's what's highlighted in yellow here. And then I also, Big Cedar, White Oak Ventures owns most of the property around these entire sections of road, except for a couple areas I found just here that are owned by somebody else other than Big Cedar, White Oak Ventures, or Three Johns Corporation. Now they have on one road they petitioned to vacate. This road here, there is a, it's not that road. This road. They requested to petition this section of road up to here. There is a privately owned lot here and one also here. They have, in a sense, built a new road to access to this point here called, I don't know if it's got a name, but it starts at Bay Drive, ends up on Waterview Drive. Anyway, it's not part of the vacation, but it's a new road that Big Cedar has built to access to this section of the road. So. But the request is to vacate from here to this point here.
How are they going to, if they vacate from here to here, and from here to here, do they only exist for here's county?
Correct.
And you're going to access it via that road?
The access would be via this new road that they built here, would be to access to here. Problem is, they don't, I mean, they're going to maintain it, from what I understand. They didn't want it to be county maintained, which, in a sense, it does have a steep grade on this particular road. It's since it comes down the hillside. A little steeper than this road or this main road that we're going to continue to maintain. The ones you see highlighted in red on this map are currently county maintained roadways.
The road that still comes off this cul-de-sac, should I get down to where that's in the top?
Well, that was one idea they were looking at, that there's a steep hollow here, something like that, impossible. So they changed and they decided to come off here and come down this route, which this one would have took in quite a bit of fill, and this was fairly, it was going to be fairly steep. But that was one of their intentions at one time, that they decided to come off here and come down to this point.
There's only, there's two folks, there's a couple here that live in Kansas City, I think. I don't know where they live. They've got, there are two individuals that they could come out anyway, but these folks would come out this way.
I actually didn't have a problem with them vacating these sections here. This road, I didn't highlight this one, but I believe it was this lot and this lot right here. Yeah, I think that's where the resident people owned that lot.
Resnick's.
And then I'm not sure the gentleman that owns this lot, but anyway, they've been trying to purchase that, but we're unable. Big Cedar White Oak Ventures owns the rest of the property.
It was Resnick's.
Oh, this is Thursday.
This one I'm not sure about how they plan to access this section here, because these are basically improved roadways back in there, so I'm not sure.
Still Oakmont.
Yeah, it's still kind of Oakmont, but see, this section had been vacated previously. These are owned by other people. It's quite a mapping map.
Yeah, but this stretch here now, that here, what's this? Where they can get in or out?
Well, that's what they petitioned this section of this ravine here to vacate.
Where are they going to get in or out?
I don't know. That brings up a question.
Well,
it's going to be a.
You said this right here's already been vacated?
That's already been vacated.
When was that vacated?
I don't know.
How can they vacate that and not give them access? Is this an improved road or not?
There's only two other people over Mr. Morris or his company that own lots here at the Resnick's.
And that may be correct.
He owns all the lots except two.
In this area? Are you talking about over
the
here?
Whole thing.
He owns all
the lots. My information here may not be updated. I mean, there are
owners of that. Mm-hmm. The Resnick's.
Well, that would be on this road.
Yeah, no, there's another
lot 90. Make sure. Where'd you get your information?
Huh?
Where'd you find out your information?
Well, I'm pulling up on mapping, identifying, and the information I have. But like I say, I don't know how often it updates as to when land changes hands.
Lot 90, a lot takes to
update.
Could the system, so.
Look, I have no problem with this other than not knowing.
Right.
And whenever I don't know, it's hard for me to justify this. If I knew for sure that they owned all these lots, I have no problem with the vacation of these lots, with this section being.
You want to get a verification?
I would like a verification.
Randy, on your list, which one?
What lots are those?
Which part of this description fits this road that you have in front of us here?
What's the name of that?
What
is that Ravine
Drive?
What? That's kind of was my recommendation on that, if they could verify that.
Again, show that to me, Randy, because I don't see it. Oh, here it is, number two.
That's the first one on it.
Ravine Drive.
Okay, it's following your sentence. Ravine
right.
Drive. Okay, this road's an unimproved road according to mapping. It shows lots on the northeast side of the section of the road owned by people other than White Oak Ventures. And I question access to these lots. I would recommend vacating if these lots are indeed owned by White Oak. And you're going to bring that information to us.
What we did was the Bear Prop Title Company.
How long ago did they? Because I'm showing. How long ago did he purchase them?
Lord, I mean, it's been over the years.
Because I'm showing other individuals owning all those lots.
And this is through
Beacon, and it's usually pretty accurate.
You're finding the same thing I was looking at.
And I can.
So that's the reason I recommend it.
134, 1 back through 24.
Right. 1 through.
24 through 34, number 1. 24 through 34.
Okay.
And then lot 1. How it,
Brandon is in.
Well, I.
Randy, on your letter, I'm showing 13 descriptions. Of parts of roads. And as we work our way through these, I would like us to list those that we're going to ask for additional information on, and we can if we choose. Table these if there's one, or if there's two, or if there's three, or if it's all for a couple of weeks until we have verification that we asked for, and then bring them back up. I know statutorily we were set for a day, 4 days within the year, but we can move this business forward and make a decision.
Like I said, if there's verification on these, I have no problem with it.
Let me mark that next to a meeting. Can we move to the next one?
Okay, the next one is Devil's Pool Road. This road is a through road that currently is county maintained. Runs from 86 Highway down through Big Cedar. Connects to Lakeside right here at this point. This is where the restaurant and everything at Big Cedar is. What their petition is to vacate this section of Devil's Pool. And they own all the property around there.
Okay. Where do these people, they go out somewhere else?
Actually, This is Lakeshore, Lakeside, Devil's Pool. We maintain this entire loop all the way through from 86 down through by Big Cedar. It just changes names 3 times on this entire road through here.
But that's a connector road.
It's basically a through road. But there is petition to vacate from here to here.
It's not.
Do you need any more additional copies? Is broken gas
wine?
I mean,
well,
Shannon. Did you make about 3 copies of that letter?
I'm going to give that to Joe. Mm-hmm.
Hey. Devil's Pool, Lakeside, and then just a small section of Lakeshore is the petition to vacate that are county maintained, as well as a portion of Waterview. Also, Stone Road is county maintained, but they own all the property along Stone Road as well. The ones that are county maintained, I didn't recommend vacating. They're through the road connected roads.
So that's your recommendation. Is any of these that's got the red line, you're not recommending that they be vacant?
Why do you want them to go through that area where they've got their restaurant or connect from the U6?
Well, basically, it is a through road. There are public that lives here that can access either way. If we have an issue with this road, we've got an alternate route for whatever issue we have on any of these roads. At least we've got a connecting roadway, an alternate route in here. This one in particular, I wouldn't have a problem vacating, except they have a existing project coming on that this is part of the detour route set out with this project, so we can't vacate our detour route until this is completed, then this could be vacated at that time.
So, let me ask this question. I thought I heard you say that there's 13 roads that you have no problem with.
Well,
are in the request.
There's 13 roads total petitioned, and there are five of them that I'm not recommending vacate because it can't maintain currently or have. This one, like I say, is going to use as a detour. This is a through road, same thing as Lakeside.
I'm going to go up and get my, I got some notes wrote on certain ones of these.
If they vacate these, they're going to have to be cul-de-sacs, turnarounds, otherwise we're coming down to a dead end where it's hindering us about an alternate route. This one in particular, we're going to have to travel a roadway that we currently they have a petition for us to take over and maintain to get to this short section. It is about a 16% grade. They built it. It's fairly wide. I mean, they built it by standards when they built it. But then we have to travel that portion of road to get to this right here if we vacate this. This is fairly flat, even terrain, a little bit of a grade back here at the cul-de-sac.
I think he's got a plan to build something here, which is why I wanted to. Mm-hmm.
And I have no problem with any of these here. This one, these.
Are you showing somebody else on this one? This one?
Yeah, I do show two lots right there. They do have it. Resnick's here, and then another gentleman here. I do show two right here. Now, about what they're vacating, they still have access to here to this road. So they're not being cut off from access. This is fairly steep. It's kind of right in the head of that hollow. This is fairly steep grade. Now, these have never been built that I can
that's I remember that. They don't have access to the side of it anymore. They don't
have
any roads. There's no road there.
And that's the only two lots actually in this whole area to find.
I'm guessing we should have called it recess. I'm the only one up there. Ron, do you want to recess? You said there's 13 and 5 that you don't want to use.
Correct. Basically, I listed each road out and kind of a brief description if it was a through road connected road or if there was lots associated with it or if wild ventures owned all the property, and then made a recommendation on each individual road.
So Danny went to give some backup information that he has.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Tell me. As I stepped away on the Devil's Pool Road. Currently, the discussion is our road and bridge administrator is recommending not vacating that. Is that correct?
Correct. It's a connected road that connects the other.
I want to hold that one and we'll come back to it. Let's move to the next one.
Center Drive, I have no problem vacating. Center Drive, all the property is owned by White Oak Ventures. It's an unimproved.
Having looked at that, Brandon, is it all right to temporarily put that okay on that until we move through all these? And
yeah, everybody wrote okay on it.
Center Drive. Let's go to Rim Road.
Rim Road, I'm okay with vacating that. It's another one that's it's unimproved. I think it owns all the property surrounding this.
Hilltop?
Hilltop, same thing. I recommend it. It's a little short. They own all the property.
Where's Hilltop at?
Show him on the map where Hilltop is. Right?
Hilltop, that right here. That's Hilltop. Lakeshore Drive is a small section of road just south, southeast of Waterview Drive to the intersection of Lakeside Drive. If you don't vacate this, or this one, I recommend not vacating this section because that's the connection made here.
Otherwise, say that again, I'm sorry.
This section of Lakeshore Drive is what they're asking to vacate.
Okay.
The short section here, and I'm not recommending vacating because it connects this loop here. It is currently county maintained.
So the county maintains all the way through, right, back around, and then uses that section to come back.
We come back to 86 section.
And that small section is contingent upon, what's the name of the other road?
Dale and Lakeside.
Can you use both of these? Can you use them alone?
See, this one's a dead end road. This is a through road, connects to Lakeside. This is a through road, connects into Devil's Pool.
So you're okay with vacating Waterview?
No. Not with these two. If there wasn't two private citizens here, I wouldn't have a problem with
it. Oh, I see.
But being there's two private citizens here that have a different access, that it would create us a problem getting through this section. If we're going to vacate, I'd rather the whole thing be vacated, and we wouldn't have a problem trying to get to this section to maintain if this section goes away. They do have a new road built, but they didn't petition for us to take it over.
So if we can't do anything it over, you'd be okay with it?
I would choose to keep this being a flat, even grade rather than taking in a road that's 16% grade. This one's more of a problem to maintain. A little more difficult than what we currently have. If it wasn't for these two residents, I'd recommend vacating the entire roadway.
Well, if those were all vacated, the only issue would be county maintaining issues.
They would have access. Got two residents. They'd have access.
Currently have a county maintained road. If you vacate this, we're going to have a problem getting to this. They have to drive a road that's going to be up to somebody else to do a maintenance on this. I can't do anything with it. That's the only two lots in that whole section.
We were less than got some New York one on this.
Right.
They have to close. So really we're talking about one race.
Potentially. Now there, that is on Waterview Drive.
That's on Waterview Drive, right. It's a dead end road currently.
I'm gonna designate that, at least for the time being, as one of those that we'll chat about here shortly as to get additional time if there's
Dale Drive is a current gravel road here. They own all the property there. I have no problem with them vacating. There's no lots that I can find affected.
You guys make sure you have to go down this way.
We
come
yeah,
up.
Right.
This right here,
we don't use this. We don't maintain it. It's either up to Pope Pond, if they do any maintenance, or Big Cedar. Big Cedar owns all the lots that wide open.
Big Shoes, your fellow in there, son.
So I'm buying
those as a big Cedar.
Tail Drive. Lakeside Terrace.
Hold on just a second. Did I hear Dale you Drive. Say you're all right with Dale Drive?
Right.
Where you at? Because what I didn't find was the my copy. That's other than, okay. And this are the no's for further
discussion.
Just further discussion.
Today. Potentially. Lakeside Terrace.
I'm fine with Lakeside Terrace because it's an unimproved dead end short.
Is this Lakeside?
Yeah.
Rim Road. Didn't I hear that already?
That's where I think Lakeside Terrace is this section. Rim Road is, there's two pieces of Rim Road. That is a private residence. There's two here, but they have access here. This one has access.
I don't think there's any road here.
There's no roads here. This is all a real steep hillside, wooded hillside. These haven't even been built. They're just platted.
So the second piece of Rim Road, you would recommend vacating?
Correct.
This is Rim.
This is Rim, and this is Rim.
Okay, so that's the second
one. Right, there's two sections.
Two sections. Okay. And this right here was the Lakeside Terrace?
Yes.
Now show me Crossroad.
Crossroad is this little piece of Crossroad. Now, it's not the entire part of Crossroad. It's from here to here. And I'm fine with vacating that. I mean, it's the same as these. It's actually not even built.
So let me recap very quickly, and then we'll talk about the others, and we'll talk about Stone Road here last. But right now, you're recommending to vacate Center Drive. That's as these are described. Center Drive, a piece of Rim Road, Hilltop, Dale Drive, Lakeside Terrace, Rim Road, second part, and Crossroad. So right now, 4, 5, 6, 7 parcels at least that have been identified, you are recommending vacation.
And Hilltop is on the first page.
Yeah, right.
I can do it. That one's got to be checked on. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Correct.
So currently we have 7 that you have recommended vacating. The last one we need to chat about, then we'll go back and talk about these others, is Stone Road.
Stone Road, that's this section which is currently county maintained. It connects Devil Pool to the state. We currently are working on an agreement on a what they call the estate road tunnel, which goes in this area here for a road that they've got proposed coming under our estate road. They have to close this section of the estate road to be able to do this construction. We have to have this detour. Stone Road is part of that detour, so we cannot vacate Stone Road until this project is done and completed.
So once that project is completed and this road is reopened, would you at that time be recommending potentially a vacation there?
Right. I would be fine with it at that time if it would no longer be needed. But right now, we've got to have this for our access and be sure. The only private lots right now on the state is up on this end, so even closing this road does not affect. They have good access. Devil's Pools.
What's the name of that project?
Yeah, it's the State Road, the State Drive Tunnel is what they're calling it.
Actually, they have already built a good portion of the road.
Right.
It comes up to a state road. And what we're really waiting on there is state approval to raise that road, and they have to show that they're going to conform to state standards before we can allow them to tunnel under that road. Is that about where we're at?
They've got the plans pretty well drawn up, and I mean, we're close to this kind of worked out with the details.
So. I can't see that we should have any discussion about Stone Road because we need that. And matter of fact, they need that to get traffic through. They may be looking at sometime in the future that they would like to vacate it, and I think we should address it at that time, as far as that one road is concerned.
Now, I've got a question, and it's just because it's been a practice of mine in the past as commissioner. the two property owners that have questions about this, which is the Rasnicks and one other, I forgot their name. So those, I'm not interested in doing anything on those at the right now until we...
That would be Waterview Drive.
Waterview, and is there another road, though, that's... Was that both those live on that same road?
Yeah, they live on the same road of Waterview Drive, the two
okay.
residents.
All right, that, and that's fine. I just... We're taking trying to do as right. much as we can do, and still yet I don't want to infringe upon those people's...
Scantlin.
Scantlin.
Scantlin. All right.
Now, I talked to both of them. The reason we built the road, the other road, is for their to let them get out.
Right.
Since then, I think we have had discussions and maybe a preliminary contract with the Scantlins, we have closed.
Okay.
The Rasnicks have not sold.
Okay.
We discussed it with them.
Right, and I just want to protect their, just as I've done with everybody else, I want to protect their rights of property owners.
Dan, I've got four of the roads that I knew you were Brandon's opinion on. That'd be Ravine Drive, Devil's Pool Road, Lakeshore Drive, and Lakeside Drive.
Well, those are ones that we need. That Ravine Drive, we have to have verification that there's no...
He's going to do that, so...
Right.
But and I'm going to put that here in a minute and ask you all to put that in motion to table so that we can bring it back up. Is there others that we should table? Or are those that we're just... I believe we're going to outright reject Stone Road when the time comes. But if we could lump these...
Right, so one you, of those so you can have the table, and in the table that would allow us to re-look at those in a couple of weeks.
Which is,
yes. So you're going to reject Waterview Drive, too. The
yes.
One with mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
But the four that I'm looking at are Ravine Drive, Devil's Pool Road, Lakeshore Drive, and Lakeside Drive. That's these four right here. So, Randy, one more time. Devil's Pool is a connector road, and that's your reasoning.
Correct. It's currently maintained by Kane County.
Does it make a That's kind of the main campus, isn't it?
I mean, anybody could drive to it.
Well, I know. Well, anybody can go through there anyway. They're
correct.
It's open to public.
I have no objection to Ravine Drive, Devil's Pool Road, Lakeshore Drive, and Lakeside Drive, us setting a time in the future, table it, whether it be for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, to allow further discussion and then make a decision on those, on two... I believe that we should reject. That's Waterview Drive and Stone Road. And then to accept the seven that Randy has recommended.
Okay. Now you want to do it that way, and you want to table them so that they can be brought up in the near future within a
for additional questions to be answered?
Right.
So right now, if I could have a motion to vacate Center Drive, Rim Road, Hilltop, Dale Drive, Lakeside Terrace, second portion of Rim Road, and Crossroad, all as described in this document. Let's label this Exhibit A. So that would be a motion to vacate those seven roads. They've met all the statutory requirements for vacation. And our Road and Bridge Administrator is recommending such.
And this is upon Randy's recommendation, along with the. I'll make that motion. So moved on the, and I would like a copy of your drawn up piece of paper there, because mine's.
I'm waiting in for it to stop. So. Second.
So there's a recommendation to vacate Center Drive, Rim Road, Hilltop, Waterview Drive, Dale Drive, Lakeside Terrace, Rim Road, and Crossroad, all as described in Exhibit A, dated December 17, 2013, presented by Randy Hayes, our Road and Bridge Administrator. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. I would like a motion to reject the petition to vacate Waterview Drive and Stone Road.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to reject the petitions to vacate Waterview Drive and Stone Road contained within Exhibit A dated December 17, 2013 as presented by Randy Hayes, our Road and Bridge Administrator. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion carries. When would be an appropriate time for you to come back to us to chat about these other roads again?
3 weeks. Can I make some clarification on Waterview Drive, the one that was in the scandal? You said I would not recommend vacating unless the entire road would be vacated. What do you mean?
Vacate from here to here. So petition to vacate from here to where the Scantlin owns.
Okay.
That leaves this section our responsibility to maintain. Our problem is
so you have to access that new road,
which is not maintained by us. So we can't do anything to it.
We're dedicating that new road to the county to fix that problem, or you wouldn't want
that would fix Randy's problem. It wouldn't fix our problem.
I don't want to take a steeper grade road if I've got a flat. What's your
problem?
The Rasnicks and the Scantlins? Scantlins.
Well, the Rasnicks are okay with the new road. The Scantlins, I don't know about.
Well, the Rasnicks have sent us two letters, and they are asking us not to approve.
Okay, well, they're not. He told me that he was okay with it as soon as he likes the new road.
I think they just have some concerns.
Concerns with the state.
Actually, I believe eventually you're going to be able to persuade them. That's. We're looking really at January 27th.
Well, we can set a date. This is mainly left up to him for verification. To give us a date.
He's suggesting about 3 weeks, and that would be close to 3 weeks. That's what I was. I'm shooting for that date. It's a Monday.
That's fine, because it's that next week that we've got.
No, we're going.
3rd, 4th, and 5th, don't we have something?
Yeah.
And then the weekend of.
You've done a great job of signing, man. Huh? You've got a few notes here.
Motion to table. The two roads in question.
Before.
Well, the table, the others are, I guess the two roads were denials, right? We didn't do
Water
that.
Waterview and Stone Road.
Right, motion denial for denial of those two roads.
Would January 27th be all right with you to reschedule those and then we'll pick a time and contact them?
The way that I understand from the conversations here, one of them is supposedly under contract and the other one isn't.
It's not.
So I'm not interested in until those have been approved.
Those are on Waterview Drive.
You've already rejected that one.
We're only talking about the others that they're going to try to.
Okay.
Yeah, did you do the motion?
We didn't do the. I didn't know we did the motion on those two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And then we're down to the tabling of the four roads.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Brandon.
Move to table Ravine Drive, Devil's Pool Road, Lakeshore Drive, and Lakeside Drive until January 27th.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to table Ravine Drive, Devil's Pool Road, Lakeshore Drive, and Lakeside Drive, which have all been petitioned to be vacated from within Exhibit A, dated December 17, 2013. Presented by Randy Hayes, our Road and Bridge Administrator. We will pick a time specific and let you know about that in the very near future, today hopefully.
I've got a question.
Discussion on the motion.
Does the vacating of these roads that are in question and the review of the ones that are in question, is there going to need to be a replay?
I would assume so.
So this
will. They're going to. He's got some new buildings and new roads in the works.
Right, and that's the reason I asked the question about the replatting, so it will have to come before.
So I would assume so.
P&Z. So, okay.
Where there's...
Those big lodge.
Of course he changes his mind.
No.
The last I heard was these bigger lodges. Somewhere
else. That's the only question I had on that.
All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. You to work with Randy.
Right.
Okay. Mr. Cotty, were there others?
Not that I'm aware of. I believe that was the only vacate scheduled for today.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
About these vacations?
Yes.
Sure.
Years ago, we got them all when Louise was here. But in the past, we've not always
gotten
them.
She made me do everything.
And I'll be going soon. And my co-workers won't always know to look for this stuff, to listen for this stuff. So keep our mapping up to date and everything with vacations and everything. We really need copies of any action that concerns road, whether it's becoming a county road or being vacated. We need copies of those.
Stacy, on behalf of the county clerk's office, I hope that you will pass that through so that, in fact, whenever we have any action regarding any road, whether it be the establishment of or vacation or relocation, that the assessor's office is notified.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll take care of it. Thank you, Mr. Houchins. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Mr. Cotty. Not that you're not a gentleman. For those of you that brilliantly heard me open County Commission this morning, noting that it was Monday, January 6th, obviously that's not correct. It's Thursday, January 9th. We're a little busy when we open this morning. Accounts payable. No, 2014 budget approval. I beg your pardon. We have held the two statutory public hearings for public input. We have met with elected officials and department heads on numerous occasions, and we have come to a final document. And I would accept a motion to approve that document as presented for 2014's budget.
Rick, does this have the newest?
Yes, it does. I checked just to
move to approve the 2014 budget as presented.
Second.
Motion's made and second to approve the 2014 budget as presented. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carried. For those who are here and are interested in a hard copy, my office is busy doing that right now. And if I'm not mistaken, they could also retain that electronically from the county. Okay. For those of you who didn't hear, their county auditor said he will do his best to make sure that gets on the web ASAP. Probably will be tomorrow, correct? Thank you, sir. Accounts payable.
Wrong.
Yes. Can. You wanted to?
Yes.
move into accounts payable?
We did.
Move to approve checks numbers 338117 through 338142. No warrants or transfers.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve checks numbers 338117 through 338142. No warrants or transfers. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Lone Star Church Cemetery, quick claim deed. Could you step outside and see if Mr. Cotty is still there for me, Rod? Gentlemen, what we have is a quick claim deed regarding Lone Star Church and Cemetery Association. This is used in part County Commission to grant to the Lone Star Church and Cemetery Association a parcel of property that is contiguous with the cemetery that in fact was left for the cemetery but was put in the county's name. And we are approving a claim deed which will in fact give to them all the rights that the county has as the county. This has been approved by our county attorney and approved 2-4. And it calls for each of our signatures. So is there a motion to approve the quit claim deed from County of Taney to Lone Star Church and Cemetery Association? As presented.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the quit claim deed by and between Taney County and Lone Star Church and Cemetery Association. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Like to move ahead of on our board appointments because we may have discussion on that and move to court orders since we have people here that are interested in court orders that are in front of the county commission. Chuck, could you join us, please? Number of parcels of real estate as well as a number of parcels of personal property. We are being asked by the assessor. Morning. Didn't see you, Christy. I would have called you up.
Thank you.
That we are being asked to approve these are for, all of them are for the year 2013, correct?
There's a 2012, if you look on the personal property, 2010, 2011.
Those are contained in personal property, though.
Yeah. Right? If you're looking at real estate, then yes, they're all 2013.
I should have clarified that. And the process for court orders. Would one of you drill on that for me for just a minute?
The entire process?
Well, we have court orders in front of us. We have parcels that are all listed with the same reason, which is an erroneous assessment. I'm not sure that they all meet that criteria, but that's how they are all labeled. When we have properties that are on prior years that come before the county commission, there is a process, and that process is we're requested, correct? To make a change, and the definition and reason for that change is presented.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, the assessor creates the court order, it's sent to our office, we review it, and then we present it to you for approval. There are three reasons that court orders can be processed outside of the Board of Equalization. Those are erroneous assessment, clerical errors, and double assessment. And then, of course, because we're an occupancy county, we have to add that in as well.
We have three parcels of property, number one, number two, and then the third from the bottom, that I have copies from the State Tax Commission.
Ron, are we on real estate? Or
yes, first? Real estate.
Real estate, okay.
And from a personal perspective, since, in fact, one was reduced by the State Tax Commission through appeal and failed to be entered into the system, and the other are State Tax Commission rulings, I don't see that we have any choice but to approve what the State Tax Commission has ordered, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be one and two, and number nine. But when we do talk about those, we'll utilize the numbers that you've given us. I know that we have an individual or individuals that are here that have asked to talk about the court orders that are in front of us. And if anyone here would like to chat about these court orders, if you'll come forward, we'll be delighted to hear what you have to say. Good morning.
Good morning.
We have, if you'll sit in front of that microphone, we are recording this session as well as broadcasting live over the Internet.
Okay.
If for the record, you'll give your name for our clerk.
Brent Blevins.
Mr. Blevins.
I know that you're interested in the next to last, which is the Empire District Electric Company. And if I could just have you chat about that, what your concerns are, we'll note those for the record.
Thank you. Yes, it is in regards to the Empire Electric. Again, I'm here today to talk briefly due to the fact that I'm just made aware of this in just recent days. I was unaware of this possible abatement until late Tuesday night, and after visiting with the district attorneys, I'm going to speak. Please understand I'm speaking on behalf of very little information at this particular point, so I'm going to be talking about information I've just recently got from Mr. Pennell as well. So from my understanding, again, I can be corrected on this, but based on the information I currently have that I've received in the last 48 hours, Empire Electric is requesting, and from my understanding, there'll be a recommendation to be taken off the books in regards to an additional assessment of $432,000 by Empire Electric. Again, the information I have based upon a deadline that was not reached by an April 20th deadline. I'm speaking here on behalf of the Forsyth School District. This would be a significant decrease in revenue that we would receive in the amount of $17,755 with a levy of $4.11 that our district currently maintains. With that being said, again, I've been told by my attorney to speak briefly today just for the simple fact of the information we currently have. I right now have no statute or legal information that would say that that can or can't be done. I can just speak on behalf of the district stating that that is a significant amount. I can tell you that if any individual taxpayer in this community or business or any entity that would be assessed incorrectly, high or low, the district would be not only request but expect the commission or the assessor to drop that assessment based on what's fair, accurate, and ethical, and the district would be more than happy to give that money back or not receive that revenue because it's not deserved. It's not ours. Vice versa, if this $432,000 is accurate, an accurate assessment that is currently on, that we have budgeted for and is in our budget for this current fiscal year, regardless of deadlines or loopholes, and I understand that that's part of the process for legal ramifications, but in regards to fairness to the district and the students in this community, and in regards to, just to be quite frank, the ethical standpoint of it, we feel that we should receive that revenue based upon that assessment being accurate. Like I said, the numbers would show for themselves almost $18,000 to the district that we would lose in revenue. And based upon the information I got from Mr. Pinnell, the recommendation will be based upon, I believe the words were convinced that Empire's attorney and one individual from the State Tax Commission stated that this needed to take place. My request to the commission would be to please look at this, get as much information as possible, maybe additional information outside of an attorney that's trying to abate the taxes to ensure that the district receives the revenues that they're due. I think that that was would be fair, and I think that that would be accurate. And to be quite frank, I think that we would ask this of any taxpayer in this community, any entity, any business. If they were over-assessed, then we'd be more than happy as a district to return those tax dollars back, and vice versa. If that assessment of $432,000 is accurate, then we feel as a school district that our students deserve that. Our district was not involved in any of this decision-making in regards to time frames, and we feel like that we should not be punished as a school district, and our students should be punished based upon a timeline loophole.
So obviously, when first alerted to what the assessment was, the school based its levy and its projections for revenues upon these That's dollars correct. And the other dollars that fell within the assessment process.
That's correct. Our budget was approved before July 1 of 2013, and we had projections and then get our final assessment, obviously, in August. And the budget is officially set in August, and changes are made based upon that current assessed valuation that we get in August.
At that time, you set your levy?
Correct. We set our levy.
That's right.
We have a tax rate hearing and set our levy at our August board meeting.
Right.
And that's when our revenues are projected and put into the budget at that time.
What I'm looking at on the sheet that you have given me is we have a beginning commercial value of $1,963,090, and you're asking us to reduce that to $1,531,090. Is that what you all show?
Correct, yeah.
Chuck, would you like to
sure.
answer these points?
Dr. Blevins spoke very well, and I as well would like to see the school get those dollars that they made their budget on. I believe the first time I was made aware of this issue came from Jay Williams with the Empire Electric. Don't believe Jay is an attorney, but he's worked for the Empire Electric for some time, and he told me that there was an error and explained it to me. There's been conversation, as Brent said, at this point I'm convinced from talking to the State Tax Commission attorney that we don't have a way of upholding the value that they made their budget on, the $1,963,090. I spoke with Maureen Monahan, and then actually Bart Titchener, another attorney up there, spoke with someone else, possibly with Empire Electric. It's a centrally assessed utility, I believe that's the right term, and I will stumble if I try to explain it too well, but there is a deadline that Brent also mentioned that the assessor fills out a form, a Schedule 14 and a Schedule 15 and sets those values. And that's what happened last year. After that happened and after the deadline, from my understanding, what came about was the assessor's office became aware that there was improvements, or realized they didn't get those improvements kicked in. Of course, I wasn't there, but something like that. That amounted to this $432,000 increased valuation. The assessor staff member did call and talk to our state rep, our regional rep that comes and visits with us. And he advised him to go ahead and put it on. And so the assessor's office did put it on, and that's where the $1,963,090 comes from. But it was after the deadline. I think it was in June. Don't hold me to that. But anyway, it was before the book closed, our book, but it was after the Schedule 14 and 15 had been done and certified. And again, what I understand is we can't uphold that. I mean, it won't fly.
It says that it was failure to let them know of the increase is the reason it's typed here from one of your offices. Or at least on the sheets that's been given to us for consideration today.
Well, we may have not stated that too well, but I think I've explained it well, that that's what's happened. So that wording may not be good, but
when did those increased notices go out, Christy?
Their increased notices? Mm-hmm. Usually a couple months before the year.
The reason I asked that is once this was brought to my attention on yesterday, I called our IS department downstairs, and they have record of an increased notice going to Empire District Electric.
And Ron, again, that may not be that reason of failure to let them know of increase. I stubbed my toe there. Because they received an increase that you researched.
But it was after the deadline.
But it was after the deadline, and nobody in the assessor's office recognize that they were doing something evidently that would not fly, so to speak. So again, I apologize for that. It really wasn't actually failure to let them know. It should have been failure to hold the assessment that was certified by the deadline. It's a bad situation, needless to say, because the school, as we've already talked about, sets their budget on the book. And the assessor's office put that value to the book, and so that's what they saw. But again, the state rep admitted quickly that he should not have recommended, I guess would be the way to say it, for them to put it on the book because the deadline had already been passed and it had been certified.
Has Empire already paid these taxes, and did they pay them under protest?
I believe they have, Ron. I believe they have.
This is unpaid.
I'm sorry, what is it, Sheila? Say that again. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
No, I'm not speaking. I'm holding the check right now. The orders are to put it in a protest account. If you guys make the ruling, then they're going to withdraw the request.
Are the taxes on the $1.9 million assessed value, or are they on the rolled back $1.5 million?
Taxes are on the amount of the original bill.
They're on the $1.9.
This just came new to me, Ron, as I'm going to say a week ago.
Here's the reason I ask, and I'm very concerned. Because in working with IS Department, we find that this has already been rolled back. It is not at the 1.9. The office has already rolled it back, as well as some of the others that are in front of us today. So I have a real concern about that.
It's already in the program.
Yes.
In what program?
This abatement, this court order has already been put into the real estate values downstairs through in an IS.
But Ron, nothing happens until you vote on this. It will not change the book. For next year, those values will go.
You have different programs, so I'm confused as to which one Melissa's looking at. He may decrease it in his program, but that doesn't mean I've touched the tax book yet. I don't touch the tax book until you approve it.
I'm just saying it's already been rolled back. That's why I asked what taxes have been paid on the 1.9 or the 1.5. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
The tax book I'm charged with will not be changed until I receive a release from the order for this company as opposed to coming up protest, because that's the request. Even if you gentlemen rule today that you lower it, I would not allow the tax book to be changed until Empire sends an order. Sends a statement to the state tax commission requesting to not be in protest. That's the order I was given. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
Because I'm told that the commission, because he requested, I put it in protest.
I appreciate that. I think you've done it just right.
Okay.
My problem is the tax book has been changed, at least the valuation of the tax book.
The book hadn't been changed. It can't change until you all vote on these orders.
It won't change until I make the change or she makes the change.
That's why we go through this process.
I understand the process. What I don't understand is how the book downstairs can be changed until approval is set up.
On which book she's looking at.
Okay.
Because there's three programs that contain the quote-unquote book.
I appreciate what you say. Well, our dilemma is we have a property in front of us. There is remedy that is given to the taxpayer, whether it be commercial or residential or agricultural. Thank you, Sheila. And that remedy is, if they pay their taxes and they pay them under protest, which obviously they are all prepared to do that, then they have remedy through the court system. That's how it works, is it not, Sheila? How many days do they have? Is it 30 days, 60 days, 90 days?
Well, they have already filed with them, so they have until the state makes their decision. The state will set up the hearing and make their decision. If they had not filed, they had 90 days.
Okay. Brent, any other comments?
No. The only comment I have, Chuck, I'm assuming, is there statute? My attorneys can't find anything in statute in regards to these timelines. Have you been able to find anything in regards to that to justify this?
Yes,
needing to take place, or is this just a recommendation made by Empire's attorneys and the State Tax Commission, but no statute in regard to that? Is that correct?
I'm not aware of it.
Okay.
As I told you, I'm relying on the attorney at the State Tax Commission and looking at our file on Empire Electric that shows the schedule. Shows James signing those figures. So, yes, I don't have as well.
Okay.
And so there may be a challenge. You know, okay. I appreciate what you said.
Sure. And the last question I have, because, again, I'm new to this, is the $432,000 was an accurate assessment. So the question is not whether the $432,000 is what they should have been assessed. It's just a time frame that it was actually notification. Is that correct?
The information I got was the office at that time maybe saw in the newspaper or whatever of these improvements that went on the dam, and maybe even called them and got that amount, and that's how they came up with 432. So that's what they put on the book. In talking to Mr. Williams, I believe it was him that told me that they were not challenging that amount, that's accurate.
Okay.
And so for next year, and I'm not sure if that's what you were looking at or not, Ron, but next year that is what I assume we'll be putting on the book for 2014, because it would be, quote, new construction that we can add on in the even number year. As I can't explain it, but there is the centrally assessed. If they have to pay this extra 432 now, the way they describe it, it'll be in a double assessment. They'll be paying it twice, and it's a complicated thing. I struggled with trying to explain it to you, and I'll make a stab at it with you guys if you want me to. I'll try to do it quickly. I think there's 6 counties in the state that has Empire improvements property. Those 6 are required to do this, certifying the amounts. That's where the issue is. After those amounts are certified, that's only part of the property they own. They own more property than that, lines and this and that, that's not included in that. Those figures that the 6 counties give them. So, if their value, so that large amount is set based on the deadline, those figures that are brought at the deadline. So if you add to those figures, then their amount that is the whole amount is going to be increased, and evidently that won't fly. And I'm sure that didn't make a lot of sense because I don't have my hands on it entirely, but that's what I've been told.
Well,
it's because it's a centrally assessed. It's not like a house or a commercial property in the county. And that's, as Brent said to me on the phone, it's kind of hard for the school to swallow. And I agree, because we can go through this process, as we do, and get things corrected. Whether something's left off or added on.
But I'm assuming it's in our railroad and utility tax book?
Yeah, there's locally assessed.
It's either state assessed or it's locally assessed.
Mm-hmm. State
and
assessed.
And it's state assessed?
Well, the second part of it is state assessed.
Right.
The first part of it is the county locally assessed is given to them, and then they do their state assessment on top of that. And that's where you get the double taxation thing, if I understand it correctly.
So their contention is that the dam and the properties that are included within the assessment, they're not contesting that may be right.
Correct. They
are contesting that it wasn't done timely.
Correct.
And my question is, it's their contention then that the dam is valued, this would be the assessed value, commercial, so it would be 32%? Is that how that works, or it works differently on railroad utilities? 32%. So basically, we could take that times three to come up with what they feel that the value of that property is, which would be somewhere around $6 million. No, they're thinking...
They're not disputing
four
the
and
amount,
half.
Right? They're not disputing the amount. They're disputing they shouldn't have to pay it because of a timeline issue.
And it will increase their overall taxes. That they're somewhat in a situation, the school, you might say, in a way, they've been told and been assessed by the state for this much. And if they pay this extra, then they're paying on top of that. A little different, but somewhat the same.
But that's assessment. That's new construction assessment. So that should be more, correct?
It would be, you would count it new construction, whether you got it on this year or next year. The way I understand it, next year when this comes along and they pay on the 1963, that it will lower their other amount.
My last comment would be to, I think it's pretty obvious that I'm a little confused with it. I think Mr. Pennell is as well. As he stated, this is a significant amount of money for our district at $18,000 to make a, to recommend that, in my opinion. But that's the last statement I have, and I appreciate you letting me speak and the information from everyone.
We appreciate your comments. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I've got a question, too.
For Brett?
Yeah. I don't plan on placing a vote to place a burden upon the schools. I don't know exactly what the remedy is without research from our attorneys or with someone that has more knowledge about this than I do. I'm not going to make just a vote because it seems to be apparent to make that vote to make these books work out. So I can't approve this abatement today until I have more research. I don't know exactly how much research your attorneys have done on this issue, which I understand that you have explained that they have up this 2 days ago or whatever short time frame they've had to research it. So until we have a correction, and I think it's left upon this county commission to make the decision of whether this reduction will be made, I'm not going to make that decision to deny the schools that those funds. And until I have further research, and I am convinced that it's the proper thing to do.
Thank you.
Did you still want to say something?
I just think that's wise. I think there's a lot involved in it, and if the commission does not rule on it, then I put it in a protest account, and the State Capital Commission, who deals in this matter and this research, and then the school's attorney, well, we'd have to defend it, the assessment, the assessor's attorney. Am I wrong on that? Needs to defend the assessment.
But let me ask you something.
We need help on that.
Then what you're saying is, and the other process, I don't know whether this has anything to do with this, but I know the other process has three remedies, and that is through the assessor's office and through the BOE and then through the court system. Is one of their remedies possibly through the circuit court remedy?
Well, they'll go through the State Tax Commission. They're following the protest. They'll go through the State Tax Commission. That's an order they give me, and it's what they will do.
Wait, just a second. So, because it takes me just a second to realize it. When you say that they go through the State Tax Commission, then we understand that they also have it the other remedy of going through the circuit court after the state tax commission. Is that the same as any other property owner, as Mr. Blevins stated? So that would mean that there are other remedies besides this county commission trying to make a decision that we're unaware of.
If they had not been brought to you, what my normal process would be, they filed under protest. I would have, if I wasn't asked to hold it until, because they wanted the commission to rule it. The state tax commission said that if you gentlemen do not rule on it, then my orders are to put it in the protest account. And if you did rule on it, it was they had to send a letter to the state tax commission requesting to be drawn out of them, to be taken out of the protest. Because if you ruled on it to lower it or whatever you ruled, nothing could happen to the tax book until they released the collector's office from being in the protest account, because they have already filed, as you'll see others. Once they file, they have to send a letter to the state tax commission asking to be released from their appeal number.
So, Sheila, help me with that, because I'm not clear. So if John Doe comes in, if I come in, and pay under protest, I thought there was a provision in Missouri law that I had so many days I could take it to the circuit court.
You have to take it to the circuit court or state tax commission.
Okay, so there's an option.
Mm-hmm. And normally it would be the state, because that would be your least expensive, and also they deal with it.
Well, and help me a little further, because I know when individuals come through Board of Equalization, and if their appeals are rejected at that time and the values are upheld, they have ability to go to the state tax commission. I thought that we had been advised by the state tax commission that if they didn't go through the BOE, the state tax commission wouldn't hear their appeals.
There's exceptions.
Okay.
If you have not been given the opportunity to go through BOE, if you didn't receive an increase notice, which they did, and the problem, if you look at the increase notice, it was sent back to the assessor's office telling them that the deadline was too late and so forth. That was in, I think, June or something. And they...
So the increase notice that they received...
Correct.
They wrote on that and sent it back and said it was too late.
Mr. Brayway sent a note back saying that this was
too late.
It's too late, and it's too bad that the assessor didn't get it changed, because they could have, because it was, if I remember right, before the book was closed in July.
It would have to be if it went out before they had an opportunity to come to BOE. So they had to receive that notice sometime, I would think, prior to that.
He sent me a copy of that increase notice with a handwritten note on it that this isn't right, because it was done after the deadline. But that wasn't acted upon, and so we're here.
This is by memory, but I believe the increase notice went out sometime in June, and his response on it was a couple of days right after, in June.
I believe it was before the book closed. I could go and get it.
I personally would hate to see the
Christy, we didn't talk about this at BOE.
This just came up.
Didn't just come up, if in fact he sent the letter back in June of 2013.
It's
I'm sorry, I apologize.
This just came up within the last week or two. And
I apologize, I didn't mean to cut you off.
So yes, it all happened back in
And what is the date that the state says that there is a date certain that the school district's attorneys can't find?
I believe it was May. April 20th. Yeah, I'm sure you're right. April 20th. They are required April 1st, if memory serves me right,
of the evidence that they have sent me that they're sending to the state is a copy of the notice with Jay Williams sending back saying, hasn't this already been certified at 2012 assessed value for 2013 for attached schedule? And then you attach the schedule that was certified to them. That's just part of the information they're, you know, they'll be giving to the state. But it's such a large amount and everything, and complicated. I would myself much rather it go to the state.
Now let me back up. I hear you, and appreciate your.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
You did not. I appreciate your clarifications, both of you, because it really helps. On the assessment side of it, Christy, you had said that the state assesses part and locally we assess part.
Right, and that's he's talking about the double assessment. My question is, was the value included in the state assessed side? And that's why they're saying they can't increase it because it would be a double assessment.
As far as our books are concerned, as far as the values that we're looking at, mm-hmm. it didn't increase one penny, with the exception of the valuation that was placed on the increase. Well, I don't see where there's the double.
What happened was the assessor certified the valuation, which would have been the locally assessed.
Right.
And he sent that to the state. From that, they then do their state assessment. Okay, so my thinking is, if you do, his original value was the 1.4. That's what he certified.
Right.
So that's what they received.
1.5.
So my question is, did they include that $400,000 on the state assessed? And that's why they're saying we cannot double assess them.
No, I don't believe there's any way that they could have included it.
Okay.
Because they didn't know about it until a week ago.
I guess where I'm headed is all of this
increase it.
Pardon me?
Is this only locally assessed, or is this state-local combination, the amount I'm looking at?
The amount you're looking at is locally assessed. But as I've tried to explain before, not very well, after they receive these certified numbers from the county assessors, those locally assessed figures, after they receive those, then they take that is part of their state assessed number. That's this part, and then they add this other part to it. And that's why there's a deadline, because they can't have a moving target. They have to have those certified numbers from the assessor in order to do their state assessment.
And I think they have really good lobbyists. That's what I think.
Well, it's a bad deal. We want schools to get the money that they thought they were going to get. I think everybody's sitting here on that bench. But, and I think Sheila's got a good point. If you all vote against this, then there is already, and that's where Mark Titchener came in. The Empire has contacted him at the state, and we have the appeal. And it will go to them, and then you can go.
Is this local amount on the dam itself?
Yes.
Only improvements.
Improvements to the dam.
That was the increase.
It's when they replace the gates and put in the electronic system.
Well, that's the increase, right?
Mm-hmm.
I meant the overall assessment that we see in front of us. Is that the dam structure?
Yes, sir. To my understanding, it's an improvement to the dam structure.
I wonder if we...
is the structure, yes.
I wonder if we as a county wouldn't be prudent if we brought in an outside appraisal team to take a look at what the true value of that dam is.
That's an option out there. It might be a
long term, at least for the districts that benefit from the taxation. I just have a feeling that it's worth some money.
It's an assessment of everything that lies on this property.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila. There's quite a long list of Empire properties.
My comment in no way is to slight either the previous assessor or the current assessor. It's just that I know statewide, in a lot of these structures that there are professional teams that they bring in that assist in the operation. Maybe it's something we'll consider for the future. If I can, unless there are other comments that you have about this, Chuck?
No,
this,
I haven't.
Or either commissioner? I would like to talk about the others that are in front of us. I see that there are a number here that were stipulated by the previous county assessor. When stipulated, that means he agreed to that, or he worked on that as particular.
It was appealed to the State Tax Commission, and they reached an agreement, and that was stipulated to. So it is an order from the State Tax Commission.
As well.
Yes.
As the others that say orders of the State Tax Commission.
Yes. Yes, but the
reason I say that is I only have three lots that I have copies of orders from the State Tax Commission.
The stipulations are agreements that are reached.
Okay.
It's not really an order from the State Tax Commission.
Well, they send it on an order. They send it on a document called stipulation and order.
Y'all have those stipulations there in your packet?
No.
No.
No, the only thing we have is from the State Tax Commission.
They have the orders, not the stipulation and orders.
I don't have any problem with the way you have it listed, Chuck,
okay,
as a stipulation. I don't have any problem with the last property wherein it's tornado damage from 2012 and should have come off. I don't have any problem with the refund where a lot was double assessed. That makes perfectly good sense. Am I reading this correctly, that we have a parcel of property that was formerly owned by Forsyth School and is now owned by private?
Correct.
Therefore, that's a value increase, correct?
That is a value increase.
And there's a value increase in number three, which is agriculture. Gentlemen, could we list this as Exhibit A with today's date? Make sure you put 1-9 instead of 1-6 like I opened today.
The number three, you have it as a add-on. Is that 31 acres? Is that ag value? Is that a decrease?
That is an increase of 8360. Wait a minute, that's number four. I'm sorry, you're on number three.
Right. I mean, if it's the statement of it being wasn't carrying the ag value is the least of all the values that can be added to, right?
Correct.
And so is that ag value, is that a refund or is that an add-on?
That'll be an add-on. They failed to have the ag value on that parcel.
Okay, let's see here.
Okay. Help me with it. And I'm just asking a question that I don't particularly know about is if ag value is the least amount that can be assessed to a property, am I right there?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, 12%.
Then if the ag value is the least amount, then why would it be an increase? Did they not add 31 acres, or what's the deal there? Because I don't understand how they can be
increased. Chuck, it looks to me like you added an agricultural value that wasn't currently assessed.
As it says on the court order, the parent parcel wasn't carrying the ag value of 31.75 acres, and they found that it was supposed to be on there. 3/4 acres was supposed to be on that parent parcel. Evidently, there was a split, and they failed to get that ag value, that land value on that.
Okay.
It really doesn't matter if it's ag or residential or commercial. It was land that was not on the assessment.
And I guess where my question lies is, if it wasn't on there to start off with, was it on residential or was it on commercial, or the 31 acres just was in thin air?
My understanding.
It wasn't under any classification. They did a split, and they forgot to assign the value to the parent parcel. So they're just, that parcel had zero value all the way across.
Okay. All right. So you're adding to it?
Yeah.
Okay. You see why my question's there, though, can't you? Because it's 31 acres that just was out there in thin air.
Yeah.
All right.
If you look at number 4,
is that the abatement number, Ron, ends in 933?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's the one that was previously owned by the Forsyth School, so it was exempt. And it's now owned by a private individual, so we've added it on.
And you prorate that on?
Is that right? It's on at 83%.
My question to you is, on that particular parcel of property, if you would take another look at that, because whatever book I'm looking at that I was provided by from our IS department shows that at a value of 1070. It has changed since it was 8360. So whether it's your book or whether it's whoever's book and whatever process it's in the books that they're utilizing downstairs. So if you just take a look at that.
You're showing what, Ron?
1070.
10,070?
No. 1070. It's too tall to hand out here. It's 30 feet long.
We've got two programs going on, and the mapping is still entering into the Melissa's program, the IS program, as well as the Gamma. And the Gamma is correct at 10,070, and that's what the book was made on, is the Gamma program.
Well, your printed amount here shows 8360. That's what I'm looking at.
Well, usually what happens is the assessor's office will put it on at full value for their next assessment year.
Their
book is going to show full value for next time.
Okay.
The tax book.
I understand, and I appreciate that. Maybe Mel just made a mistake when she wrote this figure down. That's possible.
The program that generates this is what I've used to enter the value into the tax book.
Okay.
And that's on at 83%.
And that's what's certified. That's my main point.
That's what we're going to alter that
certified. What you end up there. So this was just a mistake here, then.
The 10,070 would be for the next assessment cycle.
Okay.
So he's already changed his book for next assessment.
I'm with you. And let's hope that's what it says.
Yes, let's do that.
If I am understanding your comment correctly, Mr. Strahan, that you made earlier, it sounds like you were getting ready to make a motion to approve Exhibit A as presented, with the exception of abatement number 20140948.
That's right. That's correct. That motion is so moved. Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the abatements on Exhibit A, dated 1-9-14, as presented, with the exception of abatement number 20140948. For edification's sake, that is the Empire District Electric Company parcel of property. Discussion. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Gentlemen, you have a second piece of paper? Yes, sir. Go ahead.
If we may, it's up to you all, of course. We had one come in yesterday where we mistakenly had a residence taxed, assessed in Taney County, and the residence is actually in Stone County.
Can you add Silver Dollar City to our tax base also? Yeah.
The gentleman
was very, very gracious. This start, this happened, I believe, in 10 or 11.
Can we see that?
Sure.
Happened when?
2010.
Oh, yeah. Sheila spoke to this man as well.
And I explained to him when I got to speak to him that he could go back 3 years.
This is a...
And he said, gentlemen, it's water under the bridge. If you could take care of the current year, I would be happy.
So is he paying taxes in the other county?
Well, I trust
it's
that
he is. It's not his house.
Oh, it's, that's correct. It's not even his house. He's adjoining property. Our appraisers thought that...
Can we call this Exhibit C?
That'd be great.
With today's date. Either of you care to look at the...
Now, will that classify under a refund, or you say he's not
wanting... Be a refund on it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's already paid it, correct? Yeah, it
okay.
Would be a refund. Good question.
But we have the ability to go back 3 years.
And he just... It was just easy to...
When did you start to say?
He said he loved Table Rock, he loved this area. He's selling the crop, he has to get it corrected. And it's something like $2,000 or something.
It's not a small amount of money.
Well, personally, I don't think it's anything to this county system to go ahead and refund those 3 years. That's what we are legally able to do. Even though his wishes are something else, we've got $4,000 of his money.
There would be an issue with the collector because those funds may not be there to refund.
I would be willing to talk about this in the future if they want to bring it back up.
Okay.
If that's all right with you.
All right. The other 2 years, or you want to go ahead and do the 1 year?
This is only, what is in front of us is an abatement for, actually it's a refund request for 1 year. It's for the year 2013.
Correct.
And that money has not been dispersed yet.
Is there a motion to approve Exhibit C as recommended by the county assessor, dated January 9th, 2014?
So moved.
I motion's made and seconded to approve Exhibit C, dated 1-9-14. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Now if we can go to the personal... Property we'll label as Exhibit B with today's date. Number 6. Gentlemen, thank you. Abatement number 201-40917, which should be about your sixth down. It says equipment filed in error. That's huge. That's the reason I bring this up.
They didn't own the property on January 1st.
Didn't own the equipment? Is that what they're saying?
Mm-hmm.
But yet they filed it on the form that they did own the equipment?
Well, I don't know where the original form is.
Okay. Normally they fill out a form and they sign that that's the equipment
that
they
own.
Yeah,
it was filed in there. Yeah. That's what Glenda has down there.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to smile. It's just, it's if someone fills out what they own and they describe what it is, mm-hmm. and they attest that that, in fact, is what they own, and then they turn around and go, no, you know, I really didn't own what I told you I owned. It just always makes me curious.
We have it happen, as you're aware, I imagine, lots of times on personal property when they look at their forms. They're kind of hurried through, and we, I mean, personal property is busy all the time, not all the time, but correcting things that happen like this.
Well, I mean, I know I can tell you I've got the wrong year vehicle or something. That's an easy mistake, but a whole list of equipment, that's okay.
Well, I think on the form it's usually just listed as business equipment, isn't it? So if they don't cross it off, then it's still going to be on their form.
It's number 14 where it says taxpayer just doesn't want to pay taxes. Is that?
It says that, huh?
No, it doesn't.
No.
A little humor in the business, huh? That's good for us.
On these, we actually...
Gentlemen, I'm looking down this list. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I
interrupted. Well, we have no recourse other than what they've listed here and they've checked to, other than to approve. I mean, I have no problem with it. You need a motion for approval of Exhibit B.
Is there a motion to approve Exhibit B dated 1-9-14 as... submitted with today's date?
So moved. I'm
second. Motion's made and seconded to approve Exhibit B with today's date. Submitted. All in favor say aye.
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 I will abstain from voting on this particular list. Reason is I see a niece.
Gentlemen, thank you especially for that, working that last one in for us. We had some snow there that day, and it could have got there maybe, I don't know.
Thank you. And thanks for answering the questions. It made things a lot clearer between you and Sheila. Yes? And you. You're not getting my form.
Thank you.
Here's these stipulations if you need them also with those. You have those?
I have those.
Okay. Did accounts payable. We did Lone Star Church and Cemetery. Board appointments. We go back to those. Let me note, out of all the possibilities that are out there, that Sean Pingleton, that served for many years on planning and zoning, and resigned that position when he was chairman of that board, has indicated, and I spoke with him Friday night at a meeting, that he would, in fact, if appointed, fill the vacancy that we have existing on the Board of Adjustments, where Dave Clemenson resigned. So I wanted to put that name in front of you, gentlemen. Obviously, having served the years that he had done on P&Z, he certainly has an understanding of the process. And I believe that he did an excellent job.
I'll make that motion, Ron, that he fill that position, Mr. Pingleton, in the BOA. You said BOE, didn't you?
Did I say BOE? I meant BOA, Board of Adjustments.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to appoint Sean Pingleton to fill the vacancy that exists on the Board of Adjustments. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed say nay. Motion carries. Are there any others that we have at this time? Oh.
I want to make a motion that we appoint Randy Casey to the Sewer Board. Randy served a year with us on the DOE and done an excellent job, so he has showed an interest.
I do have a form here from Randy. I did not have one for Sean.
Now, this would be for the vacancy that was created when Mr. Daniels' term expired at the end of 2013.
Right, and Mr. Daniels expressed to me that he didn't have a desire to serve any longer, that he had put in 10 years, and I think they had appreciation certificate that went out to him, so...
There's somebody else on his card. I've had two people talk about that board, though. I was interested in being on it. Not that I have a problem with Randy at all. I just think we need to discuss.
Yeah, who's the names?
One was Scott Scoglund, and I don't remember the other individual's name. They gave it to me yesterday morning, a meeting I was at. Another individual said, gave me a card with the guy's name on it saying he was interested in serving.
Do either of those individuals fall within that Branson Township outside the city? I think you know what I'm fishing for.
I don't know about one of them. One of them lives off of, I'm pretty sure he lives off of Fall Creek Road, but the part just before you get to Dwight's old place on the left-hand side. What is that? What's that subdivision that goes down there?
I don't know, but that part of that, that's in the county.
I said that's in the county. Would that fall under the...
Well, hopefully that would. We could have addresses checked.
The individual that I introduced you to at a meeting, mm-hmm. He was interested in...
I don't know if he was interested in being on the board, but he was talking about transportation.
We need that filled also, so...
I got his name right here.
I had never met this individual, Dan, but I met him at our economic development meeting we had the other evening, and he had served on a transportation committee when he was in Arizona and was very successful in the team that he served with was very successful in securing federal funds for major improvements in transportation, so I was at least impressed by that. Somebody we should...
Talk to
have come over and chat with us, or
cool, or at least have them fill out an application as we do. I think that would help. I don't know this other gentleman that you're talking about.
You get that other name,
Brandon? But
I can't find it.
I don't want the name you mentioned, and I just knew that Randy had sent that in, and I had visited with him, and he actually voiced. An interest in serving on the sewer board, so that's the reason I brought his name up, and he filled out an application. So I don't know the other guy. I mean, just whatever you want to do. I mean, if we can get people to serve on these boards, I mean, that's just very difficult.
Right.
When we have someone show interest into helping us out, well.
That's who helped us out on BOE? That same Randy?
Randy, isn't
Randy.
It?
Yeah.
What's your wishes, guys?
Well, we're already starting to have these meetings, so I think we need to progress when we can.
This is Thursday? Could we... I know you have a motion. Do you care to... Can we wait till Monday and get these other two names, see how serious they are about it? And then find out if that one is involved or lives in the area that's for the... For the other, I mean, for, it's for the planning and zoning, right?
That's what I have in mind. That's what we've been trying to fill for a long, long time. So whenever I hear anybody's name that's in, and I know that at our sewer district meeting, it was brought up twice, are we going to be moving on somebody for the sewer district? And it makes it difficult if we have a couple that aren't there. So we have a vacancy. We did have just enough for a quorum at Tuesday's meeting. So we do need guys to move on that. Dan, his question to you, Brandon's question to you is, can you wait till Monday or Thursday? This Thursday? This is Thursday.
It's Thursday. It'll be Monday.
You know, that's why I read the front of the agenda earlier. I was thinking it was Monday. That's what you get when you start at 1:45 in the morning. What are your thoughts?
That's fine with me. Like I said, I would... like to be able to schedule a meeting, meet this guy. I don't even know if Brandon knows him. I know we all know Randy because he served with us, but...
Could you have him perhaps, or both of them, come in maybe Monday and prelim session, and we could just chat with them? Or
yeah.
I would be interested in whoever they are. I've met Scott, I'm pretty sure. Did he run for something? Or
no.
No?
He owns some businesses in Branson.
Okay.
So does the guy on the transportation board, does he fit in the same district that we need someone in?
See, I think that was... Where was the area for that? Is it, I say that's Forsyth, and I don't know where he lives.
Let's, but you have his card somewhere, right?
Yeah, I've got it somewhere. I have to.
Let's bring those both back up, if that's okay
check
with you gentlemen, on Monday.
That'll be fine. We'll post that, right?
And then get that done, though, because I agree with you, Danny. We need to get it done.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you want to conduct an interview, and we want to do that in personnel, we can
when,
do that.
When's the next SIR board meeting? Is it not next week, is it?
Two weeks from this Tuesday, the
21st. Okay. So we need
a little bit of time
to notify.
Are there any other nominations regarding any other positions that we have available, gentlemen?
And I know that Shanna and Nick could do an excellent job, but I think next week, could we have a total listing of everything that's due, and so we can announce it and maybe get it in the paper so we can maybe get more
interest.
Available applicants in for other positions or interest in other positions.
We have a scheduled daily staff review and agenda request.
Okay.
If you'll bring that up at that time, we'll make sure that becomes a part of the agenda. Previous meeting minutes.
Move to approve minutes for October 15th, 2013. October 24th of 2013. October 28th of 2013. And October 30th of 2013 with corrections.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve prior commission minutes dated October 15th, 24th, 28th, and 30th with corrections. Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Gentlemen, we are scheduled for, oh good gosh, we moved the, I didn't know they had the budget set out separately.
Hmm?
2014 budget work session approval at 11, I thought that was all contained in the same. Start at 1:45. You see things. Thank you. Where are we at, guys?
We're down here.
Bid recommendations for flat scanner.
Flat scanner.
Commissioner Pastor, if you don't mind, was there some reason you all needed to speak with me? I was upstairs getting ready to start a meeting. I was told you.
That was a long time ago at the Lone Star Church and Cemetery Association. So no.
No.
I'm sorry, mister.
You didn't ask me to fetch him, and when I did...
That's We appreciate you being here.
We apologize.
No, no, don't worry about it.
We have a bid recommendation for flat scanner and printer. And
well, we did at 9 o'clock. Coleman up.
So do we want to stand in a recess? For...
Oh.
Well, thanks.
Get off the wrong.
Might I say, after repeating Monday's business.
We even started out with a prayer and a pledge.
You know, I want to apologize, but since we were scheduled for Monday, and since I had Monday's agenda in front of me this entire day, I've been trying to work through it, I guess.
I think you've done an excellent job working those things in.
We have taken care of Monday's business now, so we can move on to today.
Plus, you're able to ignore the clock. It's, you know, kind of easily, even without glasses on. Anyway,
Mr. Erickson.
Yes, gentlemen, we are here. We have been here, and we are here for a recommendation, formal recommendation, in response to bid number 201312-246 for plat scanner / printer. This is a device that was requested of me to put out for bid by the Recorder of Deeds office, and the Taney County Recorder, Mr. Robert Dixon, is here with me to assist. This bid was released on December the 4th, 2013. It closed on Tuesday of this week, on Monday actually, and we opened the responses on Tuesday. We received responses from three different vendors: Missouri Document Solutions of Springfield, Missouri, Source Graphics out of Anaheim Hills, California, and Drexel Technologies out of Maryland Heights, Missouri. One of the stipulations in the bid requirements was that whoever responded or whoever provided this piece of equipment would be available for regular maintenance on short notice, and so we were a little bit surprised when we received these two distant responses. The amounts that were offered within the bids resulted in Missouri Document Solutions out of Springfield, Missouri, as the lowest amount at $14,550, specifically for the plat scanner and printer. This is a all-in-one device that will take the place of existing equipment that is not all-in-one and that is fairly well used and does not have the sophistication and the functionality to it. And Mr. Dixon can offer even more detail than me, but basically the main purpose that this device will serve is to expedite requirements that the public come in with, and their demands and needs will be more quickly handled with this device. The second response that we received from Source Graphics came in at $14,769 just for the device, and the third one, Drexel Technologies in Maryland Heights, Missouri, came in at $15,995. There is some fluctuation in some of the responses regarding annual service agreements. The bid specs did not make it mandatory for those charges to be included within the entire bid package, and Mr. Dixon has explained to me that he has the option there on service needs and the annual service agreements. So we're focusing completely on the equipment as it was bid, and I think I'll turn it over to him now to explain his recommendation.
Okay, the current piece of equipment is approximately 5 years old. The it takes 20 minutes to print a plat or a survey, which is an inordinate amount of time to have somebody waiting in your office, plus you're taking man hours because they're talking to you and whatnot. The problem with the current scanner is that it's to the point that it's going to start eating up the originals, and we just can't have that. The printer probably would survive another 6 to 8 months. Of course, when you get out on the life cycle of these printers, after a while, they will refuse to service them, and the parts will get harder to get. Occasionally, about every 6 or 7 months, we have to have a drum installed, and the drum is $600. So we're bidding out, and the current ones that we bid out for would have a warm-up time of less than 4 minutes. And it's an all-in-one unit. It will take up less space. And the way this works is that the money for this machine will not come out of general revenue. It will come out of the technology fund of the recorder of deeds, which is a portion of each recording that is done in the office. The fees that we collect off this, the printer, when we print a plat or a survey, by state statute, is $5 for a standard, $10 for a large plat. That money goes to county general revenue. The copies and fees that we get for copies off deeds and plats and surveys boosts the general county revenue about $55,000 to $60,000 per year. So it behooves us to have good equipment and be prepared. The cost to print something with the equipment, I figured out with the paper cost, service contract, and all that, it costs us about $4.11 or $4.15 to do a plat or a copy, so we're not getting ahead very much. These new machines, I anticipate that it will cost about $3, so there will be a savings there. I'm recommending the low bid from Missouri Document Solutions, Springfield, Missouri, $14,550.
Move to approve bid number 201312-246 to Missouri Document Solutions.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve and accept bid number 201312-246 to Missouri Document Solutions of Springfield, Missouri. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen, for your time. It sounds to me like this is going to be a huge improvement over what we have been utilizing. And in the long term, I believe it'll save money in the long run.
The old equipment will be turned into the county IS department. And if there's a need in the county, it does have a little bit of useful life to it.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. Gentlemen, I label this next item as capacity slash hookup fee discussion. In meeting with the sewer district this week, there was a discussion regarding what I used to call hookup fees. And we're calling now, do you want to come up and join us, Brancher? Capacity fees. And the discussion that we had at the sewer district really centered around those fees and the fact that we had had a roundtable discussion, we, the county commission, with the sewer district board of directors in the past where we talked about hookup fees. And Commissioner Strahan, your comment, my comments at those times, at that time, was we would really like to see those fees go away, if at all possible, for residential hookups. So that discussion was had at the sewer district. And the sewer district, really, I'm going to let Brad address this, but wanted, with a little more specificity, the county commission to say exactly what they wanted, because there's some different areas here that would be involved or not involved. But I'd like you to address it if you would, Brad, what sure. we're talking about. I did bring one copy of what we had, and I think that's what's
right. Yeah, I brought a copy of a memo that I wrote for a sewer board meeting just to give some information on what the current fee structure looks like when we bring on new customers. We had put this same agenda item on our meeting for Tuesday, and I think the sewer board just wanted some clarification on, was it just residential that the, you know, maybe commissioners would want us to waive, or was it everything? And we just wanted to provide some information that about those different fees. The capacity fee is $1,500 for residential right now. There's also an impact fee. That impact fee goes towards odor control, and that's only if you have a grinder, simplex or duplex. You'll see that memo. A little bit higher for a duplex. Commercial customers pay a capacity fee of $7.40 per gallon of estimated average daily flow.
But this, it's called a capacity fee.
Yes.
It hasn't always been called a capacity fee. It was called a hookup fee. So how I associated that with in the past was there was a cost to hook up that the taxpayer or the young person or old person that was wanting to build a home had to pay. It was described a little bit differently in our sewer district meeting. I, for example, when I hooked up, I had the option of having the sewer district do it, which was going to cost me $1,500, or I could do it privately. And there were certain contractors that were recommended through the sewer district. I got one of those, and it cost me half. But the way that we're looking at this now, to me, it's more than just a hookup fee.
Yeah.
And that's why it's being called a capacity fee. So
right.
I wish you would.
Yeah, I can elaborate on that to my knowledge of that. We looked back as best we could in our resolutions and things and found a 2007 resolution, or maybe it was a policy, that had these fees in them. And they, to best of my knowledge, I didn't bring it with me, but it called it a capacity fee.
Okay.
So I was not aware that there were, quote unquote, hookup fees in the past. Again, to the best of my knowledge, it's a capacity fee, and to explain a capacity fee is to everyone pays that fee for the possibility of in the future to have to upgrade treatment plants, make improvements to the line, things of that nature. So sewer district is very aware that we have the use of the sewer sales tax money, and but we do need to be careful on that if that sewer sales tax money goes away. That the capacity fee is a very good thing. It helps districts make improvements.
It's a revenue to the sewer district.
Right. It currently is. It currently has not been set aside.
Well, let me ask this. If I go to the Stockwhite Highway, that's where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm misstating this, and maybe I paid more than I thought I did. But I know I paid the contractor X amount of dollars. I thought that was the hookup fee. Is the hookup fee separate from this capacity fee?
In my mind, it is. In my mind, and there's, we got to think about a couple things here. When we do a new project,
regardless of when the policy went into effect, how long is the sewer district charged a capacity fee?
I don't know that. I don't know what year. I know we currently do still.
I'm really asking because I don't know. That's why.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how long it's been. We just found that 2007 policy going off of. But you have a couple scenarios. When you do a new project, it's my understanding that the sewer district has not charged those people a capacity fee. It's my understanding. I don't think you should necessarily on a new project. Now, if you have already gone through an area, say White Highway, say, Mr. Houseman, you built the house afterwards and then wanted to hook up, to me, that's where this comes into effect.
So there would be a capacity fee and a hookup fee, then?
Well, not a hookup fee, but the fee or the cost of hooking up would be borne by the homeowner.
Is this open for discussion?
No, we don't have time.
You don't have time? I think you know where I stand on this. I've brought this up numerous times. I brought it up back probably in 2007 whenever it was implemented. I spoke at the sewer board meeting. I don't think there should be a capacity fee, hookup fee, or whatever you want to call it. This in itself is a tax instead of a utility-based funding from a fee to hook up to. If a person has a piece of property, it's not always the decision of government to decide when he wants to hook up to a sewer system. As a matter of fact, he might not be able to hook up to a sewer system if he's a young couple or a person that doesn't have the funding at that particular time, or he's invested in a piece of property and has a rather large investment that he's making payments on to build on in the future, then he can't hook up at that particular time because there's nothing to hook up to, plus the fact that he has a large expense. So I think it kills the initiative to expand growth in our communities. I also believe that the people that have been paying the sewer sales tax since back in the 1980s have already paid their hookup fee. And I feel like that although a project is going in and we consider those capital improvements, when we come back to hook up to that person's house or that property, or whether it be four or five properties or whether it be a duplex or whatever, that those people have already paid over the years for that hookup fee, and it's part of that capital improvement property. And I feel very strongly about this, and I've made mention of it before. I run into this, not personally, but for another person the other day, I run into and go to these meetings, and I'm going to encourage the water districts to do the same. If we go to a person's property and we have a right of easement, or we want an easement across that property, and the first thing we approach them with is a hookup fee, I'm going to be just like them. I'm going to jump up and down and say, no, you're not crossing my property if you're going to charge me to hook up. If I can't hook up right now, later time you're going to hook up. So the water districts, I found out the other day, they do the same thing. They charge so much to hook up, which is $1,000. When you're talking about these fees and the water fees and everything, and of course, somewhere down the right line, you have to think about property owners' rights. And if you're asking for an easement across my property for a power line, which now they're charging for, you have a sewer line that goes across these people's property that they can't do anything within that certain distance. They have a water line that has to be at least 10 foot away from that sewer line, and now they can't do anything with that. So when they buy a lot and they have an investment and they have to build their house over in a certain corner, maybe not where they want to build it, then I don't think that they should be paying these fees. Now, I know there's some people will disagree with me on that fact, but I find mostly that those are utility-minded people. This is a tax-oriented service that we're providing to the citizens of Taney County to clean up the water. And so that is my main reason, and I will push my agenda on this matter until I'm no longer in office, and maybe even after I'm out of office, that we do not charge hookup fees, or if we take an easement from someone, that they don't have to pay a hookup fee in the future. So that's just the way I feel about it. And
I've expressed this in our roundtable discussion. I seem to get the attitudes and minds of the people sitting on the board that once I explain this, they kind of get to think in the same way some of them did, whether it hadn't entered their mind before, whether they didn't think about it, or because it had always been done that way. But that's the way that I'm going to push as a county commissioner to maybe change some of these things.
I think that you'll find that the Sewer District Board is having the discussion, which is why Brad's here today, is to, with more specificity, find out where the commission's at. I think we know where you're at now.
Well, I hate to go into such detail, but sometimes if I don't get it that way, well, I just don't, it don't turn out that.
Mr. Patrick.
Go ahead, Brad.
Oh, I just wanted to get to make sure I'm clear. You're talking about mainly residential.
I'm talking about
all
strictly residential.
Strictly residential. Okay. So if a commercial business, then that's a different situation.
That's a different situation.
Okay.
The reason I say that is because these people have been paying this tax for years.
Sure.
And they've paid way more than the $1,500 or whatever this is if they've been paying these sales tax for years.
From the perspective of Sewer District Board members, I think in the past, the Sewer District had no revenues.
Right.
For their operating expenditures, and for the utility that was created, this helped finance those operations. I've already stated I agree with you. The Sewer District, I think, is pretty clear of where I'm at. Although, we looked at this residential with the grinder, we looked at the impact fee. Those are only, you don't see an impact fee unless there's a grinder. Right?
That's correct.
So the question was asked of me, would the county, in fact, pay the Sewer District for the capacity fee that the residential property owner would be paying? If I'm not mistaken, that question
yes.
was asked. I don't see how we could utilize those funds to pay a capacity fee unless the capacity fee was in some way truly utilized for the expenditure of a capital improvement somewhere down the line. And there would have to be a tracking of those funds for that to happen, because these funds are earmarked for capital improvements. And so I don't know the answer to that. I'd certainly be interested in what your comments are about that portion. I know that the Sewer District, the board asked, they wanted to know what our opinions were. And if there's other issues that I'm missing, Brad, you need to cover them.
No, sir.
I brought this up in my conversation with the Sewer Board at the time. A capital improvement, Ron, to me, might be under a different definition than what their definition is. The whole purpose of this tax is to clean the water up in Tanya County. If we put a grinder pump in, which was, I think, somewhat of a mistake the way that some of the grinder pumps were put in. I mean, I just don't know how to state it any other than the way I feel.
You mean originally when we started?
Originally. But it's not that property owner's fault that we put a grinder pump in. If he had a perfectly good sewer system, and we come along there and we put a grinder pump in and pump the material over into a sewer line that went somewhere, it's not his fault. So why should he pay the tax? Why should he pay the fee every month? And why should he have to pay for a new grinder pump when the whole thing is to improve, and it is a capital improvement upon the water system of Taney County? That is my definition of what this sewer tax is. It is a It's a clear definition of improving the waters. And I think that when you look back at the old language that was voted upon by the people, that that's what their intent was when they voted on this, was to clean up the waterways in Taney County. And it doesn't mean that that poor soul out there that had a good working system should have to pay for a $10,000 grinding pump. It doesn't mean that he should have to pay for a hookup fee when he's paying a monthly fee. So now do you know how I feel? I mean, that's...
I'm getting closer.
You're getting closer than all of us. But, I mean, that's just the way that I would like to be treated. I like to treat people the way I would like to be treated.
I suggested at our sewer district meeting that was held on Tuesday that we again look to another roundtable discussion between the county commission and sewer board for not just this issue, but other issues that are out there. Mm. I also brought up, because there's so many rumors out there that I hope to knock them down, that hopefully within the next 4 to 6 weeks, we'll have a roundtable discussion with all the incorporated areas that are within the county and chat about how monies have been dispersed to them, what we might do in the future, hear what their thoughts are, so that we can all get on the same page rather than somebody floating that this is going to happen or that's going to happen. I clearly believe that every citizen that lives within this county, regardless of where they live, is a resident of this county. And I believe that we all benefit from clean water. And I agree with you. That was the goal when this tax was first established, was to ensure that we had clean water in this county. And that's what we're working towards. But just as an example, there'll be some issues there. So if we could schedule with Brad in the sewer district to do another sit-down, I think it would be very beneficial. I know that Brad's in contact with a couple of people that are very knowledgeable in the state. One, in fact, is an administrator that I have met and talked to a couple of times and who came down and shared information with all of us at one of those roundtable discussions and did a great job. So I'm real pleased with what you all are doing and the direction you're headed. And Brad certainly raises the level of professionalism there, and it's got us headed in, I think, an excellent direction.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate his viewpoint, his opinions, and everything that Brad brings to the table as a paid in official capacity for the sewer district. I appreciate having your knowledge and your wealth of knowledge from what you do for us.
Let me pick your brain just a little bit, Dan, based upon all the comments that you made about capital improvements. What the sewer district is interested in, I would presume, is can any portion of this be considered a capital improvement so that the monies and lost revenues can be replaced to the operating fund of the sewer district? Is that right?
Thanks. It's my opinion.
Yes, sir.
You see the asterisk there. These homeowners, I guess, right now, and I don't know. I guess the last project that we would have had grinders would have been maybe the Y Highway project. Maybe most of it's gravity. I'm still.
I think most of it's gravity.
It is, but it's my opinion that we provide that grinder. If we're going to design a new system and go in there, if it requires a grinder, the district, using the sales tax money, provides that grinder and sets them up. I mean, they're ready to go.
If they have to have it.
If they have to have it. They don't pay for that. That's something we'll have to look at changing. Have not really discussed that in depth with my board or anything. That's just my opinion. And that would eliminate a significant cost off a homeowner. To me, I look at it as it is our decision to move forward into an area based on a need, and we are helping the citizens and the environment. But that's quite expensive to have a grinder installed to pay for that on top of all these fees. I definitely agree with you on that.
Well, my opinion on that, at least my personal perspective, is really clear. I believe that's a capital improvement that we're installing, and I believe that the county sales tax can cover that expense. And I really don't believe that the taxpayer who's wanting to build or has been living there for a number of years needs to be subjected to that cost. That's just my opinion.
don't know when that changed.
I mean, I can, you know, we,
yeah.
You're going to build a new house,
yeah.
Or you're a couple that's starting out, and suddenly you're going to be hit.
Oh, it's $10,000.
Yep. Yeah. That's huge.
Yes. Other areas of the state that I've worked, you know, they don't have the sewer sales tax as a benefit, but it's all provided. It's in the project. It sets the homeowners up with everything they need to flush, basically. And to, so I think that's definitely, I think this is something we need to work on and set you down know, together.
You know, Brad, we're very fortunate that as we went attended our regular commission meetings and we talked about Lake of the Ozarks and Camden County and all the other issues that's been brought up about these other counties lately. When they made the statement that we were 20 to 30 years in advance to what they are around Lake of the Ozarks, that says something for our county. It says something for our leadership, that people that have the foresight to go ahead and look into the future to get these lakes cleaned up, mm-hmm. compared to what those people are going to have to go through and take 20, 30 years to catch up with us. So that's what I'm trying to say to you. I appreciate the fact that we're going to be moving in a direction that helps every citizen in this county, where they have sewer now or where they don't have sewer now. They don't have to look at it in a negative, as a negative response to it when you mention right. sewer coming to their area.
Yeah, I can vouch for those problems up at Lake of the Ozark. My former employer is probably one of the largest engineering firms that does work at Lake of the Ozarks. Primarily funded through DNRS, RF, low interest loans, some grants. It is you wouldn't believe the years it has taken to get some of those projects put together. Now, sometimes our projects down here still take a while, but
yeah.
It's a great, great benefit.
Right.
I'd say we are several years ahead of.
That's what their commissioners told me. I'm just using their quotes. And so.
Brad, do you have any other comments for the commission regarding this issue?
I'll go ahead. My biggest concern, I'll just to put it on the record, and I've stated it before, probably at sewer meetings, is that everyone give due diligence to waiving of or eliminating capacity fees if the sewer sales tax goes away. I don't want to keep harping on that, but to me, that is my big concern. I'll still be here in 10 years if that thing. My job is to get that reinstated, at least part of my job. I look at that way. But if it does go away, if the citizens decide not to reinstate that, capacity fees will be very important to the district to continue to move forward.
They will be necessary.
Yeah. That's something we'll have to reconsider at that time.
Yes. In a kind of a scenario I posed on Tuesday at the Super Board meeting was, in the few years prior to 2023, if we're not putting away capacity fees for future upgrades and sewer sales tax goes away, that could be an issue. Is it going to bankrupt or do away with the sewer district? No, it's going to set it back. So those are all things I would just like, you know, everyone to consider.
And just for the record, and I've used it before, it's on tape in our meeting upstairs, but that X in the box where people vote on this tax is way more important than the capacity fees that would be built up
sure.
during that time.
Yep.
So that's where I'm at. If we get a positive perspective upon sewer systems throughout the county,
yes,
do away with hookup fees, do away with capacity fees, all those things, and the person that votes on it puts his X in the right spot on the ballot, and we don't have to worry about that. But if they have a negative opinion of sewer systems and they mark it the wrong place, then we do have an issue.
Yes, sir.
Any other comments?
No.
Brandon? Brad?
No, sir. So well, let's stand in recess, unless I've missed something on this lower part of the agenda, which is today.
Upstairs.
We had amendment to solid waste disposal agreement at 11:30.
We do have.
Yeah, he was going to.
It's in the conference room.
He was going to bring that to us, so I assume that's what Mr. Erickson's here for, was the.
Which, what are you?
Solid waste recommendation disposal agreement.
But it says here, unfortunately, that we're to be in the conference room with that, Ron, so if we could meet
okay.
with you. That's how it's listed.
Yeah.
If we could do that, then we will also, following that, go into our personnel policy with HR director and the comments on the updated book, et cetera.
Okay.
But I want to bring that up as soon as we get upstairs, so let's stand in recess for just a few minutes to get upstairs. Then we'll reconvene and hear the amendment to the solid waste disposal agreement.